Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am very excited to be back here again with you this week to help you let go of fear and get your life in gear. So, as I stated last week, today is the second of what I'm calling my two-part kickoff series for 2011 that I'm calling God and Money. And I hope you listened in last week when I had Phil Goldberg on talking about his wonderful new book called American Veda. And if you didn't have an opportunity to hear my interview with Phil, please go online to www.transformationtalkradio.com and just search for my radio show on that website, and you can download his interview, and there's links there to his book. I think that it was a wonderful way to kick off the year with some fabulous insights about the connection between Indian spirituality, Buddhism, and what's going on in today's world here in America spiritually. So as I promised, we're going to switch gears, although I think that my guest today will definitely be able to connect the spiritual and emotional and fitness conversation with the focus on today's topic, which is money. I am very excited to have Alvin Hall here with me today, because ever since I started doing this radio show, I've been thinking about who I could get on to talk about what's going on in the financial picture of this country and how we as individuals can kind of emerge out of this recessionary period and step back into a more prosperous, grounded, I guess be more in alignment with our finances and our economic picture as the so-called recession is coming to an end. So I was very excited to find that Alvin was available to talk to me today. And for those of you that are not familiar with Alvin, he is an internationally known financial expert and a best-selling author. He has been on his own TV and radio show for many years. He hosted the highly rated and award-winning series Your Money or Your Life on BBC, and also had his own radio show called Jay-Z from Brooklyn to the Boardroom, and which won a number of awards, including the Wincott Foundation Press and Broadcasting Award for the best radio program of 2006. So not only could he give us financial advice, but he could probably give me some radio broadcasting advice. Anyway, we're very excited to have Alvin with us today. He is the best-selling author of a number of books on how to basically ground yourself financially and become more successful with your finances and economics in your life. And I've had a chance to read a couple of his most recent books. One is called Your Money or Your Life, Mastering the Emotions Behind the Numbers. And then there is also a practical guide that goes with that called Your Money or Your Life, A Practical Guide to Managing and Improving Your Financial Life. And I have to say, I put together a multitude of list of questions for Alvin, so I want to just jump right in and welcome him to the show and say that I am very, very happy to have you here, Alvin.
I'm glad to be here. I look forward to talking about money because it's so hardwired to everyone's emotions. Many people think it's just learning about the numbers, but you also have to understand yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of hits the nail on the head right from the get-go. Because as I was sharing with you in preparation for this interview and reading your book, what I was struck by, the book You and Your Money in particular, I love the subtitle, Mastering the Emotions Behind the Numbers. What I was struck by was the connection that you drew in your case studies between the people and their emotional state around their finances, and how it's so difficult and maybe impossible to separate our emotional well-being from our financial well-being.
It really is, because when people start to earn money or they think about money, it's imbued with their dreams, but it's also full of the fears and events of their past. How money was used in the family. Was it used as something positive, or was it a negative in the family? Did a relative always have money problems? Some people live in perpetual fear of poverty, although they may be earning a great deal of money. Recently, the singer and entrepreneur Jimmy Dean of Jim and Dean Sausages died. And in her talk about him at the memorial service, his wife said that he would wear custom-made suits, but he'd have Kmart underwear under them because
wow.
he never lost that sort of sense of, you know, no matter how rich he became, there were things he could not spend money on. So it remains a fear for many, many people, but also it's so tied to people's dreams that even when they marry someone and someone does not fulfill their dreams, often unspoken, then the marriage will fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really fascinating the way we, that money in so many ways, I think, becomes a symptom of much deeper issues.
Yes.
And, I want to tackle that. I want to dive in, but I have to say I'm sort of chomping at the bit to ask you. I did a survey during the week this week of questions that people would want to ask, someone like yourself. And there are two questions that sort of just kept coming up over and over again. And they're more like macro kinds of questions. So before we go to the first break, I want to ask you these two general questions.
Okay.
And get your insights. And then maybe after the break when we can dig in, since I have you for a full hour, we can dig into some of the more specific tips and suggestions that you have for people and some of the issues that they're facing. But, you know, the number one question that people suggested that I ask you was – whether or not you are a believer that this recession will fundamentally change the way we deal with our finances.
Yes, I do believe it will change how we will deal with our finances. I think that for many people who've lost their jobs, who've seen their 401ks decimated, who've seen their savings reduced to zero, and who've had to take jobs for which they were overqualified, they were part of the group of underemployed,
right.
that this had made them really think hard about what their priorities are. I think that in the 80s and 90s and early part of 2000, many people saw the stock market going up, real estate prices going up, and they thought it would go up endlessly, and they start to live as if they were in some movie and people were singing the song, Happy Days Are Here Again.
Well, but isn't that what the media wanted us to do and the banks wanted us to do? And
absolutely.
And even Bush, you know, George Bush himself wanted everyone to own a house, right? So
yes, and they pushed this dream to people. But what people forgot was that it's always cyclical, that all the economies always move in cycles. And this has hit many people who never expected to be caught in such a financial turmoil as this. So I think it's going to help people really think about what's important to them. Do you have to eat out three or four nights a week? Do you have to always buy your children the most expensive toys or the toys that are hot at the moment? Sometimes it's better to reprioritize those things and buy the things that will have, that will provide you with the greatest happiness long term or the greatest satisfaction long term. And I think that having watched money disappear, people will think very hard from now on about how they spend it, and they'll focus very importantly on building themselves a safety net. I say to many, many people all the time when they ask me what's the most important thing that will come out of this recession for most people, they will learn that the only thing that will save you other than yourself in this situation is having money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I think that I would have to say that 9 times out of 10 when I have a client come to me in a private, you know, kind of a life change, career change, relationship change situation, and they want to make a fundamental shift. You know, I'm not a money expert. One of the very first things I ask them is what kind of cushion do they have to give themselves the bandwidth, the financial bandwidth, the emotional bandwidth, the time that it takes to make a career change. And sometimes I'm really shocked by how little people have. You know, they kind of come back to me with, well, I could go a month or I could go 2 months or I could go, you know, and I'm kind of like, whoa, you know, we need to talk to you about getting a year of cushion. You know, what does that look like?
Well, I think people are very optimistic. And until recently, if you tried to talk to people about the reality of the situation, it would take 6 months to a year before your job or your new career change would start to generate positive income, more than likely a year. People would say, oh, you're being too negative. In reality, that's always been the case, that you have these long timelines. But everything had become short-term. People believed that they could do magic in short-term. You need to have that money in the bank, because it gives you that time to breathe, that time to think. And another thing I think people should do, Jeff, they should do a little what-if planning. What if I decide to do this? And then do some research themselves to see how much money they have in the bank. But again, until recently, most people didn't do what-if planning. What if I lost my job? What if I was suddenly downsized or had my hours reduced? They never did that, because the economy was going to grow forever. Our 401ks would grow forever. Real estate would grow forever.
Yeah, the house especially, their house especially would always appreciate.
Yep.
So listen, we have two minutes before we have to take a break, and I want to get this other macro question in. And then when we come back, we'll dig into some of these specifics. But the other macro question is, are you optimistic that we really are out of this recession financially now?
I am not optimistic. I think that the statistics say we are, but if you look at the basic measure of it, how many people are getting new jobs, how many people are earning money up to the level they were before the recession, we are not out of this recession. I think that many corporations are earning handsome profits, and we can see this in the news when they report their earnings, but somehow they are being very cautious. They're not hiring people, or they're earning these profits, and they're happy that people are willing to work hard. The people who are still there are willing to work hard overtime and not bring in new people. So no, I'm not confident that we're moving out of this recession. I would like to be, but all the evidence says to me that we're not.
Yeah, I think that it's a really, really good point. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic that things will get better, but I think there is a fundamental disconnect between all the profits that companies are reporting and yet what's really going on in the Main Street employment situation.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and it's to your point. Companies are also belt tightening and taking advantage of, you know, their cost cutting, and that's showing up as profits, but that could be a temporary thing. So.
Yes. But still, even if their profits go up, they're going to hire slowly.
Slowly.
Because every time they hire, it's taking something out of profits. And they love these profitable situations, as do their shareholders.
Well, I totally agree with you. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's dig into helping people work through this situation, no matter where they are in this so-called ending recession. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more, talk to a health coach, and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I am in dialogue today with Alvin Hall, best-selling author and international financial expert. And I want to really dig in now with Alvin. We talked kind of on a big picture level of how he's feeling about the recession ending. And, you know, as I said, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic, and he's clearly a realist as far as whether we're really out of the woods. But one of the things that, Alvin, you do really well in your book is walk people through how to get connected to their selves emotionally and how that translates into being better with their finances. And so I think my first question to sort of dig into the techniques or tips would be if someone comes to you and they would really like to change their patterns and become more financially astute coming out of this recession, where would you ask them to begin? Where would you start them off?
I would start them off with a questionnaire in my book that really focuses on themselves.
Yeah.
What are your money dreams? What are your money fears? What over the past year have you done good with money, that you used it in a beneficial way? What did you do badly with money? Where do you look back and say, God, I wasted money? Where do you think there's a disconnect between your money dreams and reality, or are they reality-based? It's only by looking back over your past can you really hope to change what you're doing in the future. Because, as my grandmother used to say to me when I was growing up, Jeff, we all have to realize that the only thing we can really change is ourselves. We can only help change ourselves. And by looking back, you can reshape the future, because that's where change is possible.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. And what do you recommend for people when they discover in looking back, let's say in particular over the last couple of years, that there's kind of like major disconnects? I mean, I even look at my own financial picture, and I'm loath to go into it in detail because it'd be embarrassing. But, you know, it's like we all have these skeletons in the closet. And so, you know, let's say you discover that you're really good with credit cards, but you've got an interest-only mortgage, and, you know, you're not paying off any of your mortgage debt, but then you go around bragging that you don't have any credit card debt. Or, you know, there's where you discover these disconnects. Like, I know one thing that I will confess is that I've been very sporadic over the years with my retirement accounts. And as an independent consultant for the last 15 years, I've had good years, I've had bad years. And on the good years, my accountant will convince me to put away the biggest amount that I can. And on the bad years, I basically talk my accountant into letting me not put any money away.
Yes.
And I realize that I have no sense of consistency, even though I have done some savings. But It's like, what do you recommend to people when they discover that skeleton in the closet?
Once you discover the skeleton, you have to put in place something to try to change that skeleton. For example, I was talking to some people the other night, and then I'm going to get to your specific situation. I was talking to some people the other night, and she just said she couldn't control her spending at all because she had all of these things that she constantly spent money on. And I said, you know, you can't change all of this at one time, but give yourself an experiment. For example, she loved shoes, and she loved buying handbags also. I said, for the next 6 months, decide that you cannot buy either shoes or handbags. Just simply say, I cannot buy that. And that becomes something that you work on for 6 months. You can still look at them. You can still go out and shop for them. But you can't buy them. And think now. And that builds into that equation of shopping a little trigger so that hopefully she'll begin to think. And the next thing I said to her, ask yourself, do I really need that? Not once, but three times while you're standing there, lusting after that pair of shoes or lusting after that handbag. Do I really need that? That often can pull people back to a level of reality.
Yeah.
In your specific situation, and this is something that's quite pervasive, we have a hard time imagining ourselves in the future when we are 65 or 70 and we'll need that money. That's very hard for most people.
Right.
So I sit down and say, imagine all of a sudden you get to 65 and you can't get work anymore. What's going to save you? How much money do you need in the bank at age 65? So if work completely dries up for you, that you will be able to continue without anxiety. And that takes the person's perspective a little bit farther forward. So they say, oh, yeah, I need to work on that because when I get to that age, things may have changed in the economy. Imagine if you were somebody retiring during the past 2 years and you had sort of closed your eyes like Sleeping Beauty. You had let your 401k plan.
That's probably exactly what I would
be. Not magic at all, because you knew that you were going to wake up and a sweet, rich prince or princess would come and deliver this beautiful bundle of money to you. And it's all gone because of the recession. People forget that you need to manage that as you're moving toward that financial goal. Imagine how much you're going to need and work toward that. And then sometimes take some of the money or the profits off the table so you hold on to it. It's about letting yourself imagine the future, part of what I call what-if planning.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about what you're saying is this idea of doing what-if planning. And instead of having a picture in your mind of a lifestyle, having more concrete connection to the emotional state that you're going to be in. I love what you said about imagining life without anxiety, because I think that gets more to the heart. I know for me, that's what would spur me on to be better and more consistent with my retirement savings, as opposed to thinking about I want to be able to travel, or I want to be able to have a second condo in Florida, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy to get attached to some sort of symbolic representation of success and then not really do anything about it.
Exactly. And there's also a lot of peer pressure going on for many people. And this is also something I point out in my books and in my talks, that when your friends will say to you, as my friend said to me when I was buying my place in New York, they said to me, oh, you can afford a bigger place. Why are you buying just two bedrooms and two bathrooms? You can afford a much bigger place than that. But I had sat down and I was practical. I said to myself, but I'm essentially a freelancer. I write books, I give talks, I do television work. What happens if I have a period where things are not that strong? How long can I live off of my savings that's in the bank, not touching my retirement money, and still be comfortable? So I bought a place that I figured out that I could at least generate enough money every month, even in the worst of circumstances, to cover the mortgage and the maintenance. And in this economy, that decision has been really helpful to me because it took a level of anxiety off the table. And I think when people think about money, they always think, what is going to buy me? It will buy me a Mercedes. I can walk into Gucci and buy whatever I want. More importantly, you should hold on to enough money so you don't have to worry. Worry yeah. is a big killer of people, and it also stops you from achieving your full financial potential.
Well, and not just your full financial potential, but your full potential in life, you know,
yeah,
because so many of my clients come to me and want to make a career change, or they want to make a, you know, a major life shift and maybe start their own business or become more independent. And yet they're not able to do it because they've tied themselves into a lifestyle that requires them to maintain a certain amount of income on an ongoing basis.
Oh, this is so, what you say, Jeff, is perfect. I talked to so many people who said, well, I don't understand how these singers, you know, end up declaring bankruptcy when they're earning
right.
millions of dollars. I said,
yeah.
they buy a house. They have staff. They have cars. I said, and you look at how much it costs to live every month. They bought into a lifestyle that is unsustainable if there's any downturn in their income. The average person does this the same way. They start to eat out more restaurants. They start
yep.
to shop every day. They start to buy the kids something every day. They start to put the credit cards on holidays. And eventually it becomes unsustainable. Because what are you spending when you're doing that? You're spending your future. And you shouldn't spend your future. Part of that should be saved so that you can have that comfort, that lack of anxiety that's ahead. Also, another thing I do, and I do this in the book a lot, through several times, I have people walk through their various money relationships, and I think this is really key for most
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I love
it's
that.
Not just your money that. And yourself. It's your money and your parents. I know that personally part of my anxiety comes from a situation I vividly remember as a child. My a relative had died and had left my mother some money. Less than 6 months after my mother got the money, it was all gone.
Wow.
Not just a little bit, but every single penny of it was gone. I still remember my grandmother questioning my mother, what happened to the money? Where did the money go? I still remember that. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And my mother, all of her life, she had a hard time holding on to money. So for me, that fear that I'm going to end up in that same situation has always been there. And then there's
yeah.
your money and your siblings, right? How are your siblings with money? Do their behavior seem better than yours? Are you envious of them? Or do you think, oh, my God, you know, I never want to be in that situation. All of these relationships really help shape one's point of view about money.
Yeah,
and by
no,
exploring them,
totally.
You can take better control of them.
I love that. I think you're absolutely right, because it's all about the narrative that we've have kind of embedded in us from our childhoods that we're living out as adults. So
yes.
We're going to take a break and continue with this. And I'm going to I want to share with you a little bit of my own narrative and see if maybe you can give me some advice. So
okay,
I'm very excited
to have mine with
Alvin
you.
Hall. Great, Alvin Hall here today, who is a world-renowned financial expert and best-selling author of a number of books, his most recent one, Your Money or Your Life. And you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. Dr. J here with Alvin Hall, world-class financial expert and best-selling author of You and Your Money, Mastering the Emotions Behind the Numbers. And Alvin and I have been digging into exactly this theme, this idea of how we have to look at our childhood, our parental, our sibling narratives from earlier in our lives in order to basically become aware of things that are kind of running the show. And that's, as Alvin points out, the starting point for self-awareness and for giving yourself an opportunity to make change and become maybe more responsible and maybe more successful in working with your finances. Just before the break, I hinted that I wanted to get some advice from Alvin. And Alvin, what I'm curious about is a topic that I think actually connects to a lot of us these days, and that is how to look at debt. Yeah. You know, I said earlier that, you know, I'm always very proud of myself for not getting into credit card debt. But then I've also noticed that I have a tendency to kind of act like mortgage debt is perfectly acceptable. And, you know, I will confess that my real estate, I bought an apartment, few years ago in New York, and that's not quite a two bedroom, two bath. So you one up me on that one, but it's a fairly comfortable little pied-à-terre in Manhattan. But here's the issue. I started riding this interest only, you know, mortgage thing that's kept my rate very low for a long time. And, you know, the challenge that I have is now people are saying that we should try to deleverage. Yeah. And I'm just curious, what's your thoughts around mortgage debt and debt in general and ways to support not only me, but also our listeners and maybe reframing the way we look at debt? Because not all debt is bad.
No. Good debt would be any debt that you may have to go into at a reasonable level to fund your education. The idea is that if you go into that debt, hopefully your career and your earnings growth there will help you pay off that debt and have a higher paying career long term. Although recent statistics point out that with lawyers, that may not necessarily be true. There have been several surveys regarding that. But in general, education debt up to a certain level is a reasonable debt. Historically, debt on homes and either your primary property or your secondary property has also been considered to be good debt. But let's explain why that exists.
Yeah,
historically, most people had self-amortizing mortgages, which means they paid off the principal over time.
Yeah.
What mortgages were viewed as was a form of enforced savings. If you were paying down that principal, your house was growing at a certain level so that upon retirement or a designated date, you'd be able to sell that property, downscale, realize that money, and have that equity to live off of in your retirement.
Yep.
This all started to shift when property went from being a form of enforced savings to a way of investing. So people thought, oh, like every investment, I need to put down as little money as possible, get that great run-up in the value of the property, then I can sell it off and make a lot of money, and I only have a small amount of my money working for me, which is when all of these interest-only loans became very positive.
Yeah.
People need to adjust. When property starts to go flat, it's not producing those double-digit or high single-digit returns every year, you're often better to hold, to pay down that mortgage rather than sit there with that huge amount of principal sitting there, because in reality, it may not appreciate fast enough, so you'll end up having no equity. It'll be almost like you've been renting. Because what happens at the very end of it? Yes, you've been able to deduct the mortgage payments on your taxes, but you may not be able to get any value out of the property when you sell it. This current economy has brought that reality back to people. If you're going to take out a mortgage, unless you are a very high net worth individual and you have a lot of money sitting behind you, you're better to pay down your mortgage. In general, consumer debt is bad debt for everybody because it's the highest interest debt you can carry. I was just looking at some numbers. There are a couple of credit cards out there that pay astronomical interest rate.
Yeah. Isn't that supposed to be being changed?
Hmm?
Isn't the new regulation supposed to help that?
Yes, but the problem with the new regulation was that it was allowed to be phased in over a period of time. That gave the industry time to be creative. One of my major statements in the 25 years I've worked in the financial markets is not the following. One of them, people always expect when I say, where there's money, there's greed. No. Where there's money, there's creativity.
Yeah.
And so by giving all of the banks and financial institutions time to adjust to the new laws, they just came up with new creative ways around them. Higher bank fees, adjustable rate on credit cards, new fees if you don't use the credit card enough. So, yes, the legislation had a good intent, but it would have been better if the government had said this goes into effect immediately, the way they did in Britain, by the way. In Britain, they went into effect way before they did in the U.S., and they put some tighter restrictions. In the U.S., the banks effectively lobbied so that they came in over a period of time. And during that period of time, you can be sure all of those people were being paid a great deal of money to be creative.
Yeah, so the situation with the credit card debt in this country is not likely to change drastically based on this regulation, in other words.
Exactly.
You're not necessarily more protected than you were before.
Wherever possible, because consumer debt is never good. Now, there are always times, like when you're maybe doing a house renovation or something like that, you may have to carry debt for 3, 4, or 6 months. That can be reasonable at times, but you should plan for that and then be disciplined during that period to pay it down as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. What do you recommend to people when they discover that they have these bad habits and inconsistencies, and you then can see that you can connect it to some of your childhood financial narrative?
Come up with a strategy and
yeah.
make it a simple strategy, something you can carry around in your head, you can think about, you can walk around, you can, you know, it's like a Rubik's Cube. You can move it around, look at it from different points of view, but the important is to keep it simple so that you can correct the problem. For example, you have an interest-only mortgage. Maybe it's time for you, since I'm sure it's a balloon mortgage coming to an end at some point, to start looking at maybe refinancing down that to a self-amortizing mortgage. The rate may not be as good, but at least you are paying off part of the principal rather than depending upon an appreciation in the market value of your house to earn you money.
So yeah, the great irony of that, though, and I think a lot of people are caught up in this, is last year I actually tried to do that, and they wanted so much paperwork and they wanted so many more details and information that I didn't, you know, they weren't willing to give it to me. So I think things are starting to loosen up a little bit, but it's actually a bit of a conundrum, I think, for some folks.
Oh, yes, because the banks all changed the rules. They tightened the rules so that now it's harder to qualify for mortgages. Although you can have a good income, if you're missing one thing, you have one spot on your credit report, all of a sudden they'll say, no, you can't qualify for this. So, but this is something you can correct over time. You don't have to do it now, because I'm sure you have a couple of years before your interest rates are going to change. But it's something that definitely should be in your focus, and you should be putting into place a strategy so that when you can do it, you do it quickly.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's definitely something that I want to think about. And, I think all of us are kind of coming out of this period of, overextension and really reframing and revisiting the whole narrative that we have about debt. And, so that's why I wanted you to comment on that, because I think that, you know, because it translates even up to the macro picture when we're all fighting over whether or not the national debt is really a problem.
And well, it is going to be a problem eventually, but I don't think the government has very many options. No, in our cases, we can choose to cut back and cut back and cut back. The government cuts back to a point, and then all of a sudden, people see this on their local areas. There's not a sufficient fire department. There's not sufficient police. All of a sudden, the place where you have to register your car isn't open 24 hours a day or even 8 hours a day. It's open, you know, 4 days for 4 hours. So the crowding continues. The government doesn't have that option. For us, we can go out and try to get a better job. We can cut back in certain ways. Or something I advise a lot of people to do for 30 days, try to live on only cash for 30 days.
Wow.
Don't use your credit card. Don't use your debit card. Because both of those are what I call money once removed. It's not real cash. Go to the bank every Sunday, take out the money you budgeted for the week, and live off cash for a month.
But the great irony, Alvin, is that what you're suggesting makes such great sense, but at the same time, we're now able to use our credit card for absolutely everything. You can use your credit card in Starbucks.
I know.
So it's almost counterintuitive to think about using cash. And we're going to have to take a break, so I want to hold off on your comment about that. But I think that, you know, it's like pulling two strings together that don't add up, because now we can use – they're encouraging us to use our credit card for everything. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to solve this financial conundrum. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and my guest Alvin Hall will solve your financial problems in just one moment.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I am digging into our financial prosperity with Alvin Hall, international financial expert and best-selling author of You and Your Money. And Alvin, before we dig into my question that we left off on the break, I want you to share contact information with our listeners because we're getting to the last few minutes of our time together, and I don't want to lose the opportunity to have people know where to find you. So what do you recommend is the best way for people to get a hold of your material, your training courses?
They can reach me at alvin@alvinhall.com. I have a website. People can visit the website, and my books are published by Atria Books in the States. I also have a children's book that's published by DK called Show Me the Money. And I have a new book that just came out called Getting Started in Mutual Funds at John Wiley & Sons. So if they go to my website at alvinhall.com, they'll be able to find out all of that information.
Oh, super. So getting back to the question that we were left with before the break, I consider this to be kind of a paradox, and I'm really excited to get your insights because I find that more and more often I am, for one, like a lot of us, actually reaching for my credit card to pay for just about everything. And I in fact think that at some point in the near, not too distant future, we may do away with cash altogether in our culture. Certainly do away with change. I mean, the whole idea of coins seems to feel really anachronistic to me these days. And I wonder if paper money isn't soon to follow. But your point is, you know, and I think it was a really good suggestion that we need to get emotionally connected to what's happening with us financially. So this idea of like a 30-day practice of using real money so that you get a sense of what you're actually spending. But how do you reconcile that with what's going on in our culture kind of going in the other direction?
Well, the culture may be going in that direction. And I think that banks and financial institutions really want to dematerialize money. And that's the phrase that's used within these institutions. And the reason is because a lot of people, there's a disconnect between real cash and what they're spending. There's a statistic in, that says that when people are spending cash versus credit cards, if they use credit cards, they tend to spend 30% more. Wow. 30% more because there's a disconnect. You, Jeff, you clearly are have a connection between cash and credit cards. Most people, when they get a credit card, that credit card is not about real cash. It's about status. Oh, I got that American Express card. That means I am somehow worthy, or I've reached a certain income level, so I should be able to go out and spend at that income level. So they seek to affirm that status via the spending with the credit card. What spending with cash does, it makes it raw and basic. You actually have to take your hard-earned money out of your wallet, and you have to watch your wallet become thinner and thinner and thinner. Or you go to the ATM machine, and you watch as that number go lower and lower and lower. And you can start feeling it first in your palms because you get nervous. Then you feel it in your gut, and then you start to have anxiety. That's a good thing because then you're connecting your actions to the financial impact of your financial security.
So what do you think about debit cards?
I don't think people who are disconnected should even use debit cards because I think debit cards are one step removed. I watch people who use debit cards constantly go into overdraft with those debit cards. You know, they open up a credit line facility and they're already there with the debit cards. I think when people
who
are really struggling
want
to take control, they need to take control with cash.
Yeah, so you think that the card, it doesn't matter whether it's a credit or a debit card. It's just the whole idea that it's kind of an ethereal connection to something that's being promoted through MasterCard or Visa or American Express that has more to do – it's really more of a symbol that disconnects you emotionally from what's really happening.
Yes, exactly. This is why young people, when they get credit cards, when they're in school, go wild.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
It's not just that they're young and they don't have the experience. It's the fact that it doesn't seem like real cash. They can go, I just put it on a credit card. There are no consequences to my action because I'm not pulling the money out of my wallet. If people spend real cash, they really cut back very quickly because they can see, oh, my God, I only have $20 to live off, and it's Wednesday, and I can't go back to the ATM machine until Sunday. How am I going to get through? They start to think more creatively about how they spend their money. Maybe I need to eat in. Maybe I need to make sure that I have the money I need to get to and from work. That's the way people think about it.
Yeah, I love what you're sharing. I mean, I think that I'm not sure I'd be even capable of doing it myself, but I think it's really
a lot of people can't. You know, I do it myself, actually. I will admit this because
I'm gonna take
I think
it
it's
on,
really important for people to know that it really does work. I basically go to the ATM every Sunday. I take out the amount of cash that I'm going to need for the week for shopping at the supermarket, for various transportation costs. And that's all the money I have for the week. And I spend it, I divide it sometimes into 7 envelopes. And so every day I take out an envelope and that's my spending money. And it really does make me aware all the time of how much I'm spending. So I may go to a sale at, you know, Macy's or a store like that. And I may be tempted to buy something. And I will think about how much money do I have in that, you know, remaining for the week. And do I really need to spend that money? And often it's just the break I need to stop me from spiraling into retail madness.
I mean, what you're saying is so beautiful because it gets back to the early part of our interview when you talked about really questioning what the distinction is between the need and the want, right? The emotional energy. And, you know, we're wrapping up. We only have a couple more minutes, but I did this two-part show where last week we talked about spiritual evolution of the West and the connection between yoga and meditation. And my guest Phil has a wonderful book out called American Veda where he talks about the influence of the Indian and the Eastern spiritual trajectory on today's Westerners. And you know, I love the idea that you're pointing to with people kind of taking responsibility and accountability, not just for the funds, not just for the dollars, not just for the credit cards or the mortgage in my case, but for the emotions.
Yes.
To get grounded in the feeling, in the energy, and to think about what it would be like to not have that kind of anxiety. And that's what you're pointing to in all of your books. So, you know, I think people think that spirituality and money are sort of like two separate worlds, but it's really all one conversation about how to live a prosperous, grounded, fruitful, relaxed, peaceful life, right?
Yes. I want everyone to become their own best financial friend. You are the friend who can provide yourself that solace. You are the friend who have the capability emotionally to restrain yourself when you're going to go overboard. You're the friend who says to yourself when you've done something well, that's a good job. I stopped myself this time. So if you become your own best financial friend, Jeff, you can create the financial future, but you have to know yourself well to become your best friend.
Well said. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I love the, what you do in your book is to give people quizzes and case studies and, you know, just like I tried to do in my book in terms of how to become connected to who you really want to be and move through your fears. So you've connected this to your money and any major change you make in your life, you've got to have the money in the bank or
that's right.
Happen.
You have to. You have to have the money to give yourself the breathing room, the time where you can think clearly and not be in panic mode.
Yep. So I totally agree with you. I am so excited that you found time to join me today on the show. I want to thank you, Alvin, and I want to promise you that I'm going to let my listeners know 30 days from now whether or not I've been able to use cash.
Good luck, and thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
It was great fun, and best of luck with your new book, and I hope to have you back soon. Take care.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, everyone. It's been another wonderful week talking with you about money and spirituality. Next week, I have super coach Sally Felton joining me to talk about strategies for success in 2011. So join me next Monday at 5 o'clock and anytime on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Bye.